Welcome to The Syndicates. Today, we dissect The Sound of Freedom, the contentious film that claims to champion the fight against child trafficking. With my guests, Doug and Aaron, by my side, we'll navigate the murky waters surrounding the film's hero, Tim Ballard, and the movie's intentions. As we peel back the layers, we confront the unsettling allegations against Ballard and question the ethics of the film's promotional strategies. Does the film truly bring darkness to light? Or are we seeing another agenda at play? So join us for a candid exploration of a film caught between cinematic storytelling and real-world scandal as we search to uncover where truth meets drama. So stay with us, right here on The Syndicate.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming back. I mean, this podcast has been in the works for maybe 6 months, and now we're finally here. We're talking about Sound of Freedom. But in order to talk about Sound of Freedom, I'm joined by the usual suspects, Aaron Julian of WSTR Media. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure that you're on. And Doug Levinson, the screenwriter, the horror aficionado, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Glad to be back. So
we have a doozy of a topic to talk about. We've been hinting at it for the past like 6 months, maybe a year, and now we're finally breaking the seal. Sound of Freedom.
Oh, no.
There's so much to talk about. But before we really dive into it, we all just watched it this week. Let's go into it. Let's talk about our first impressions first, and then we'll dive into it. So, Aaron, since you're the one that was really spearheading this conversation, like, we got to talk about Sound of Freedom. Got to talk about Sound of Freedom. And I was like, hold on. Let's wait until all the drama, all the dust settles, and then we can talk about it. So now the dust has finally settled. You just watched it.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Well, first of all, I suggested this because coming off of our discussion on the QAnon documentary and then Shiny Happy People, that was right around when Sound of Freedom was kicking off.
Yep.
And it just seemed like all connected. And unfortunately, what I have to say is that if we're just looking at the movie itself, everything happening around the movie is more interesting than the movie itself.
Yes.
If you're just looking at the movie, it's okay. It's like mid-tier, just kind of...
It's pretty mid.
Okay-ish kind of movie. There's some interesting points to talk about with it regarding that, but it's more so like what it represents and everything that it's connected to rather than the movie itself that's worth talking about.
I 100% agree.
Me too. Sorry.
Like, I was watching it and the beginning, the intro sequence, like showing the children being abducted by a talent coordinator, procurer, and like we're seeing it through the POV of essentially child predators watching this, and it's like looking at pictures of glamorized, sexualized children, and it's like, I am so uncomfortable watching this. This is the onboarding to this movie, and then I was like, oh, maybe this movie is going to be interesting, and then quickly it gets, like we said, mid.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Boring. I was watching it. I was like, I'd rather be watching Taken right now.
That's what I wrote down.
I'd rather watch Liam Neeson say he has a certain set of skills.
Yeah. Any kind of, I guess, engagement with this movie or like any kind of edge to it kind of comes from that exploitation.
Yeah.
This is an exploitation movie. Mm-hmm. Let's be real.
Sexploitation.
Yeah.
Yep.
beyond that, it really doesn't have that much to offer.
That's pretty boring. No,
it's got some wooden performances in it as well. I mean,
yeah,
it stars Jim Caviezel, and he's like whispering the whole time, doing like ASMR line delivery.
I didn't even recognize him that he was Jesus from Passion of the Christ until he said it in our chat, and I was like, no,
yeah,
because he didn't have the hair, didn't have the robes.
I know,
didn't have the crown of thorns.
that's a whole thing too. But Doug, what were your first impressions?
My first impressions were, this is an okay movie. I'm like, it has a message to tell first, but then after that, the story is just blah, mid, okay. Yeah,
bland as
I
fuck.
Mean, bland, yeah. If someone asked me, should I see this movie? I'd be like, yeah, for the message, but for a movie as itself?
I think that's what they're counting on.
Yes, yes. They definitely banked on the whole...
Them.
Yeah. Them. It did feel long.
Yeah.
It felt like it could have used like 30 minutes of less. Like whatever filler it had in, because it had a lot of filler at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it just dragged. Yes. It would suck you in at a couple points, but then it would just drag.
One or two more passes of editing to tighten it up.
Yes.
Probably would have been a more appealing movie, but.
Yeah, the framing seems static, too, at times. I was just like, I'm bored watching this. There's, like, they're talking, and it's just everything is still. And then they go into, this epic, like, the next scene, which is going to be, like, you know, going into the whole entire sex workers in, I forgot where they went.
Colombia,
mm-hmm. Yeah. The framing seems static in that, too. And I was just like, it didn't feel any movement to it.
Yeah.
It felt like a Redbox movie.
It did.
Like, this is like a fake movie.
Like a straight-to-DVD movie, almost.
Straight-to-DVD, straight-to-Redbox.
Although I'm pretty sure Redbox passed on it.
A lot of people passed on it.
Yeah.
They did.
But let's get into it. Before we do, we're drinking a nice red wine.
Yeah.
Cell Block.
Ooh. Very apropos.
Yes. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Ooh.
Not bad.
Ooh.
Now, this is a post-pandemic wine.
Oh, it's not the pre-war shit?
No, it's post-war shit.
Okay. It'll have to do.
Okay, so a lot of people passed on this.
Yeah.
So a little history with this film. The production began in 2015.
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yes, it began in 2015, and it was principal photography was 2018, I believe. It was before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was originally with 20th Century Fox. They were producing it. And then when the Fox-Disney merger happened, they shelved the project.
Yeah, they're like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with this.
Disney was like, we're not going to put this on our platform.
No.
I don't think that fits their, you know, whatever.
Other.
Yeah.
Their brand.
Their brand. Yeah. Thank you. Brand. This is a better brand.
And so, yeah, Disney passed on it. So then they started shopping it around. Amazon passed on it. Netflix passed on it. No one wanted to touch this movie.
They're playing hot potato.
Yeah. Because it's like, what's your movie all about? Well, it's about child trafficking into the, you know, pedophiles and sex rings. Like, okay.
No, thank you.
Click. Hello, are you still there?
Nope.
So who did pick it up was Angel Studios.
Yeah.
Aaron, would you like to elaborate on Angel Studios?
Yeah. So there's these two guys, the Harmon Brothers.
The okay. Harmon Brothers?
So Angel Studios was founded by Neil Harmon and Jeff Harmon, two brothers, and they got their start in marketing and advertising. Do you remember like the Poo-Pourri commercials?
Poo-Pourri, where you spray it into the toilet after you shit?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't smell?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
What about it?
They have a certain style where it's like very like direct and quirky and very wink-wink, like you know what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Very successful marketing campaign. I believe they were also involved with the Dollar Shave Club commercial.
So they're well-versed in... viral marketing, e-commerce,
exactly,
web ads.
Yeah, I think they also did the Dr. Tongue Scraper commercial. Anyway, they got their start fairly successful. Look it up.
I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
Look it up, thank me later.
There's a lot of bacteria in your tongue.
Exactly.
Which contributes bad breath.
Yeah, it was a refreshing approach to marketing that they brought, in a way that was very viral, very appealing to people. And they leveraged that to basically start their own video streaming platform called VidAngel. You see, these two are Mormons.
You remember?
I remember VidAngel.
Yeah, I
do remember VidAngel. Yes.
Yeah. These two guys are Mormons, and they wanted to have a streaming platform that provides censored versions of movies, and you can like toggle like which content you want to see and don't want to see. And predictably so, they got into major trouble with like every major Hollywood studio.
Yeah. Did they get rights?
No, they got sued to oblivion. I think they're still like sorting through that, and
jeez,
I think they ended up like the approach they're taking is like buying each copy of the movie like at retail value, and then like decrypting it, and then censoring it in different ways, and then you can choose basically which version you want. And
that's still not legal.
No, it's not.
If they're profiting from it, you can't monetize.
It's not. Yeah. It's not, but boy howdy, they're trying to do it.
Boy howdy,
they're trying to argue that it's like fair use because it's transformative, and the studios are like, no, it's not transformative enough.
But they're monetizing it.
Yeah, they're monetizing it.
That's the issue. You have to have it be non-monetized if you're doing fair use commentary stuff.
But. Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of doomed from the start.
Stupid.
But they were successful enough in appealing to different conservative demographics, your Mormons, your Catholics, your Christians, the trifecta. it was enough to get, you know, appeal and word of mouth. And they opened up like a spinoff from that company called Angel Studios. And they're like, okay, enough of this like censoring movie crap. Why don't we make like our own original material, because they had some success with viral marketing, and that was their endeavor. And they, by the way, huge shout out and credits to the Fundy Fridays YouTube channel. They did a whole deep dive into Sound of Freedom, Angel Studios, things like that. This is where I get most of this information, so go check that out.
I'll go check that out. Yeah,
it is. It's very good. So, they opened a spinoff, Angel Studios, and they needed a way to raise money, and given everything that had happened, their reputation, etc., they had trouble raising funding, the kind of standard venture capital route. So then they offered a different model where they would get the viewers themselves to basically kickstart, fund whatever they wanted to see. Mm. And so they would basically pitch different projects to subscribers to VidAngel. And basically say, like, hey, if you want to get this funded, then buy a ticket, air quotes, to see it. And in that way, they were able to raise, like, enough millions of dollars to fund, I believe their first production was His Only Son. Like, I know nothing about that movie except
wasn't
that
The Chosen?
The Chosen ended up, like, underneath the umbrella, and they ended up distributing The Chosen, I believe.
They didn't even make The Chosen.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, that was Dallas Jenkins, his production company. That's a whole thing, because that's the son of Tim Jenkins, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins wrote the Left Behind novels.
What?
Yeah. And, like, co-produced the movies. Yeah. Dallas
what?
Jenkins is Jerry Jenkins' son.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Apparently
it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected.
It is.
I actually like The Chosen. I think it's a very nuanced
too.
Take on it. And it's like not like blowhard weirdo conservative like most of the stuff we talk about on The Syndicate.
But they're sprinkling in some Mormon ideology into the show.
They're primarily they get a lot of funding and distribution from Angel Studios. And I think that works both for and against them, because basically they can say, hey, viewers, do you want to see The Chosen season 3? Well, pre-purchase a ticket to see it. And in that way, they're able to basically they're getting a ton of investors, but it's the people who actually want to see the content that they're producing.
Yeah.
It's I think it's actually a pretty decent strategy.
It is a decent strategy, actually.
But it's who they're appealing to and why that makes it really interesting and frightening in some ways.
It's an untapped market, Aaron.
It is. So Angel Studios, VidAngel, through some very clever marketing and word of mouth, and they managed to do the impossible by uniting Mormons, Protestants, Catholics, all under one umbrella. And they're like, they're kind of appealing to everybody.
Yeah.
And The Chosen's probably the best example of that, but they also have some more original programming that, imagine like the, oh, what the fuck is the Daily Wire's streaming service? Turnkey?
I thought it was DailyWirePlus.com.
There's that, but there's like a spinoff that's for like kids, like Turnkey or something.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's
weird. What?
So imagine like that streaming, like they're promoting, they're to reach the same demographic.
It's called Daily Wire for kids.
Yeah. imagine that, but like actually decent, and that's what you get with Angel Studios.
Okay. That is weird.
Yeah, so they end up picking up Sound of Freedom and actually distributing it. Like you said, for years they were trying to get distribution to different theaters, and it's only because of Angel Studios that we're able to see Sound of Freedom in theaters and on their streaming platform. That's all I got about that as far as the actual production and distribution of this movie.
Yeah.
So you get a rather mediocre movie, but you pair it with the right distributor, with the right appeal to a certain demographic, and then you finally get it in front of a bunch of eyeballs.
But what's weird about the film is, like, you know, we've watched The Chosen, and you could tell that it's an indie studio making it. It's very cheap.
Yep.
At times.
I've never seen it, so.
There is a level of production value, but you could still tell, like, this isn't a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
It's not millions of dollars. Well, it is millions of dollars, but, like, not like a Hollywood movie. With Sound of Freedom, I was like, whoa, this looks like a real movie.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't look like a Angel Studios typical production. This looks like a real movie.
Yeah.
And then now you're telling me they didn't even, originally when I was watching, I was like, oh, Angel Studios made this.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing research, I'm like, oh no, they just bought it.
Yeah.
To distribute.
Yeah.
But from their point of view, that's a pretty good get.
I mean, it is a good get. I mean, you got Jim Caviezel in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So you said, do they stream also on their, do they, you said they had their own streaming service, this Angel?
Yes, VidAngel.
VidAngel, yeah. So did they launch the movie on VidAngel as well while it was in theaters?
I believe they did.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
I think it was exclusively in theaters for a theatrical run.
I see.
And then they dumped it on Angel Studios.
Gotcha.
Oh my God. Yeah, this movie. I mean, let's get into it. I mean, we're kind of like, let's do like an overview of the plot before going forward. Because like we're going to talk about Tim Ballard's life, which is dramatized in Sound of Freedom. And then we're going to talk about the controversies surrounding both the film, the man, and the studio, and the organization.
Yeah, it's all intertwined. Yep.
Yeah. Let's get into it. I mean, I could sum it up.
Sure.
I guess a CIA agent. He works for the government in one of the Alphabet organizations. Tim Ballard and
Homeland Security.
Oh, it was Homeland Security. Yeah.
Yeah, the Internet Crimes Task Force.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah,
and he's doing this operation where he's trying to get like a pedophile. I forget the name of this individual. It's a real guy, and he arrests him, and then he's like, "Wait, let me." No, wait, no. He arrests him based on the fact that he's distributing images of child porn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to get him on trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So then he befriends him, convinces him like, hey, I'm actually a child predator too.
Yeah.
I have my predilections as well.
Mm.
You know, I know my kind when I see him.
We're not so different, you and I.
So he befriends him, and then through a long sting operation, he gets this individual to act on his desires,
mm-hmm.
procures a child to be used in disgusting ways, and he gets him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that moment, he says the cool action hero phrase, never trust a child predator.
Yep.
And that's his big phrase.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah, so the movie is about Tim Ballard, and then he wants to save other kids. He's getting red tape, like, hey, don't worry about it. You got, like, this one case that's a big thing on your record. He's like, no, I want to save the kids.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves the Homeland Security gig he had. He does this freelance operation with South American.
That's putting it generously.
Yeah.
Vigilante.
We'll get into it. So then, yeah, I mean, he goes around and tries to save all of these kids in South America.
Mm-hmm.
And that is The Sound of Freedom in a nutshell.
Yeah.
In yep. broad strokes.
Oh, boy. Okay. I think it's time to talk about Operation Underground Railroad.
Yes.
Ooh.
The operation behind all of this. So when Tim Ballard left his job at Homeland Security, he created this organization called Operation Underground Railroad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Road. And the whole point of that organization was to save kids from being trafficked to child predators. However, on paper, it sounds like, oh, this is a noble cause. The problem is, it's a little bit more sticky and complicated just saving children out of the hands of child predators.
Yes.
There's a lot of fallout. There's a lot of flack to be taken, mostly by the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aaron, would you like to unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. To sum it up, Operation Underground Railroad basically represents a fantasy kind of action movie attitude towards saving victims of sex trafficking. Don't get me wrong, they probably have like legitimately improved the lives of trafficked kids and made their lives better, but the way that they go about it usually just makes things worse. If you ask like actual legitimate organizations that try to stop this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
like how to go about it, it's a lot more like boring, methodical, small gains, a lot of losses, but they do so in such a way as to really help and protect the kids. The way that, Tim Ballard goes about it, it's much more ego driven in a way that like,
he's Rambo.
Yeah.
Saving kids.
It's very reckless. It's very, flashy in a way that appeals to people who are like, yeah, let's just swoop in and stop them. It's the same kind of crowd that's like after 9/11 was like, let's just bomb the Middle East into oblivion.
Team
like
America.
That kind of crowd.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
To give you an example, in the movie, they cover basically the first big sting operation that Operation Underground Railroad did, where they basically lured people in, I want to say Guatemala.
Sure, it wasn't Colombia.
Might have been Colombia.
South American country.
Yeah.
Might have been Colombia. I know the second or the third act takes place in Colombia.
Yeah, the kind of guiding thread through this whole movie is Tim Ballard trying to rescue this brother-sister pair. Yeah. Who were abducted from Guatemala, I believe.
Which we will unpack.
We'll get into that. But
we'll get into that.
For the purposes of this, they're trying to catch these child traffickers, and they basically set up like an Epstein Island kind of situation to lure them to bring in a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Not 50 kids.
Yeah.
He was like, I need 50 kids on this island for my clientele.
Yeah.
That is a lot of kids.
Yeah. Bring them in. Like, whatever you got to do, bring them in. The problem with that...
A bunch of predators there. We need to satisfy them.
Yeah. The problem with that is if you demand something like that, there's going to be a supply to meet that demand, whether it existed there before or not.
Yeah.
And it actually incentivizes criminals to traffic kids that otherwise would not have been trafficked if they know that you're going to be paying for a certain number of them.
Because he was like, I need 50.
So are you really saving kids, or are you actually like putting like 50 kids into more danger by requesting that? Because
that's a great question, Doug.
Because it's like, are you encouraging these people to abduct more kids, or are they taking kids that they've already abducted?
That's just one of the dangers of this kind of Hollywood style of trying to rescue kids.
Yeah.
The other danger is the follow-up with... How do you care for these kids?
Can I unpack that a little bit?
Go for it.
Okay. Because it's actually called ACEs.
Yeah.
People that have traumatic history.
Adverse childhood experience.
That's right. Adverse childhood experiences. Like, it could be, you know, violence in the household, abuse, neglect, household dysfunction. So if a kid gets trafficked by criminals, of course, they're going to be classified as an ACE.
Yeah.
They're going to have some ACEs.
That's like five or six different ACE events.
Yeah.
All in one.
It's pretty traumatic. And in order for, you know, it messes up anybody.
Yeah.
And they need a lot of therapy and support to become a functioning member of society. And it doesn't mean, like, just because they had these traumatic events doesn't mean that they're going to be, you know, kind of like thrown in the gutter, mm-hmm. be bad people in society. No, they need a lot of support. Tim Ballard's company, they do the action of like, okay, we're going to take you out of this situation, but they don't provide support that these people need.
For afterwards.
Yes, because it's not just the act of like getting them out of that situation. It's also the act of rehabilitating them, therapy.
Yeah.
You know, having them trust people in the world. It's a whole complex thing. And that's the harder part.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I was thinking about, too, after, you know, watching that movie and watching those two kids. Because, I mean, the movie centers in pretty much on two kids, a young boy who's like, what, 6, 8? And then his sister, who's like maybe like 10?
Yeah.
11? Yeah, they survived. They saved him at the end. But what about, you know, afterwards? Like, what about dealing with that trauma? Like just Armand just said, what about, you know, where are they going to go from next? Like, how are they going to have a normal life with their father who was searching through them for them throughout the whole entire movie? Like, you know, there's a lot of after things, too, that I would have liked to see for them to cover.
Exactly. Well, maybe you would have if Tim actually thought of that ahead of time. But he did not. For him and people like him who have a lot of, I would say, justifiable anger and outrage at child trafficking, but no complex thought about how to actually go about to fight it. From a very simplistic perspective, once you like rescue the kid and get him back home, then bam, you're done. Like the day is saved. Hooray. All is well with the world.
I'm magically better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple because, you have to think about like why they got into this predicament in the first place.
Yeah, but Aaron, have you tried being happy? Oh my God, I'm cured.
Thank God I'm cured. Because a lot... Oh my God, there's so much wrong with this. First of all, the movie and a lot of Operation Underground Railroad's messaging surrounding what they do, basically frames it like traffickers are foreigners who are strangers to the victims and who just kind of like abduct them out of out in broad daylight.
And look kind of weird.
And look kind of weird and deformed, which that's a whole conversation about like disability and deformity and ugliness and how it's moralized. Star Wars is particularly bad with this, by the way. Anyway, WSTR, Collective Public Access. anyway, in real life, most victims of trafficking are trafficked by family members, relatives, friends, people that they know.
Yep.
And that's a lot more difficult to talk about and to depict and portray. So if you just simply rescue them and then return them back to the family, you're probably putting them more in harm's way than you might realize.
Yeah.
So all that to say, he's just approaching it from a very misguided, uninformed,
naive
perspective in a way that usually does more harm than good.
Yeah.
And he simply refuses to learn or do anything otherwise. And in the context of the movie, it's very black and white, good guys versus bad guys. Why don't more people care about this enough? Or why don't people try to stop this? They just don't care about enough. It's about these kids. When in reality, in the context of the movie, the kids are more or less just like props or MacGuffins. We very rarely see things from their point of view. It's because it's not really about them. It's about
Tim.
Yeah, it's about Tim. It's about being seen rescuing them. It's about Tim being this amazing hero who's like doing the hard right thing that polite society doesn't want to talk about. When in reality, yeah, they don't want to talk about it because it's horrible and depressing. But also it's a much more complicated topic than you might realize. And he doesn't want to do the work to actually think that through.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the weak points too with the movie is that it could have benefited more from leaning on the kids more than leaning on Tim Ballard.
Yeah.
As the focus.
The structure of the film is very weird.
Yeah, it almost makes you want to seem like it's going to follow the kids the whole entire time because of the opening.
Yeah.
It opens with the kids. It opens with your two kids who get abducted and the story is going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to follow them. But then it's like it pulls away from that and it's like, okay, we're going to go to Tim and then we're going to introduce like three other characters too that you're going to quickly forget about here within the next 5 minutes. And then we're going to continue.
Yeah. There's like a single scene that humanizes the kids and it's when Rocio, the older sister, gives the St. Timothy necklace to Miguel, the younger brother, and says, like, you know, bring this back to me. Like, survive. Like, that's a great setup.
Yeah.
That would be a great payoff if they actually, like, stuck with the kids as the protagonist for the movie. But they're not interested in that.
Nope. No. They're interested in setting up Tim Ballard as the Rambo. I save the kids. I am the savior of all these kids.
Speaking of which,
I am Jesus Christ. No, what?
There's this weird scene where Tim is talking to Miguel. They're like getting burgers or something. And
at the diner.
At the diner. And Tim introduces himself. They're talking in Spanish. And Miguel shows him the St. Timothy necklace and, says, like, your name in Spanish is Timoteo. And then it's like St. Timoteo. In the necklace, and I think it's supposed to imply that he's like this protective guardian angel type, this like, oh, I guess right now I'm Saint Timothy.
As you know, Doug, there are patron saints for a whole bunch of different things.
Oh yes,
and it implies that Saint Timoteo
is
like a guardian of kids or something like
is
caretaker
it?
Or like
of children.
Like the way that some people pray to like St. George or like St. Columbus, I think, for like protection.
Yeah.
St. Timothy is the patron saint of stomach disorders.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, someone's going to have some stomach disorders in the future.
But it's really weird that they would include that. And the only reason I can think of is because they want to give this kind of self-importance to Tim Ballard that otherwise wouldn't be there.
He's a saint.
It's very strange.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like almost like here's this pendant with your name on it. It's fate. You're sent here almost by God.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Tim Ballard has a messiah complex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, throughout this entire film, he's, like, saving children, doing the most holy of holy works. He's putting his life on the line to fight these rebels in the jungle, yeah, to save this girl.
He even says that line where he's like, this job takes so much out of you. And I'm like, yeah, woe is you right now.
Woe.
He's got like 6 kids at home. He quits his job.
What if your kid was one of them?
Yeah. He loves kids, guys.
Do you think he protests too much?
Well, that's a thought that crossed my mind because several points throughout the movie, he's doing this hard work to like rescue these kids from child traffickers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not enough for him that during this like sting operation, he like rescues 50 kids and like puts so many traffickers behind bars. That's not enough for him. He's like, is Rocio with them? No, she was like sold off somewhere else. And he gets obsessive with like rescuing her. And it's not ever really explained why. It's like, I got to rescue her. She's the one.
Because the script said so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to wonder, like, he really wants to rescue her. He wants to make sure that it's her that he gets to. Like, does he want to fuck her? Does he want to fuck that kid?
You know what? At one point, I asked myself, I'm like, when did the brother that he rescued,
Miguel?
Teddy?
Miguel.
Teddy Bear?
Yeah.
I mean,
Miguel? Yeah, Teddy. Yeah. 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 Miguel. Miguel. I'm like, when did Miguel ever mention that his sister gave him that pendant to Tim?
I'm not sure he did.
Then Tim hands it to her at the end, and I'm just like,
screenwriting.
Okay, yeah.
Screenwriting 101. If you want a good payoff, you got to set it up.
Yeah. I'm like, that payoff right there, that was just, it was so anticlimactic, to be honest.
Yeah.
For me, it was anticlimactic.
100%. Let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is why I bring it up. Like, does he protest too much?
Yeah.
Because like, he's like, I've seen the interview that you did on the Jordan Peterson podcast, mm-hmm, with the real Tim Ballard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, real Tim Ballard talking with Jim Caviezel, and Jim Caviezel sounded like he was on heroin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was like, I really enjoyed making this
movie. Was Jim on heroin throughout the whole entire movie, too?
Ambien. Something.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
Some sort of hard drug. But anyways, I got the vibe that I was like, is he like, he's really putting on this persona that he wants to save these kids, to think about the kids,
yeah,
and child trafficking.
Like that guy who made Black Panther. Or Black Cougar.
Black Klansman.
No.
Black Cougar?
Black Cougar.
Best of the worst? Black Cougar?
Yeah.
It's all about saving those kids. He's the only superhero who saves those kids.
Yeah, he made...
It's all about the kids.
Yeah, go to blackcougar.com to learn all about that superhero. Because,
oh,
I mean, it's on the DVD, blackcougar.com.
Yeah.
But anyways... Oh my God, I forgot about that guy. But no, there's a current investigation into Tim Ballard.
Yes.
Because there are 5 counts of sexual assault allegations towards Tim Ballard by 5 different women,
yeah,
during Operation Underground Railroad.
What?
Yeah.
So he is putting on this persona that he is like, oh, kind of like the White Knight. Oh, I'm going to save these kids and save all these women and guys and girls and boys from sexual slavery. And yet he's assaulting women.
Yeah.
What?
Allegedly.
Oh, my God.
I don't want Tim Ballard to sue me.
To that point,
I'm not saying that he's a rapist. I'm not saying that Tim Ballard is a racist, a rapist.
But there are 5 women who have nothing to gain accusing him of such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a couple of great articles that I recommend. There's a Vice News one called Tim Ballard's Departure from Operation Underground Railroad Followed Sexual Misconduct Investigation.
He was fired.
So he's not, he's not even part of Operation Underground Railroad anymore.
So he's gone.
He's gone.
By the way, kind of weird to, as a white guy, try to stand on the same ground that Harriet Tubman did with the whole Operation Underground Railroad thing.
White savior syndrome.
Yeah. And then there's a Rolling Stone article. Tim Ballard is somehow in even deeper shit. Which is, both of those are fantastic. I recommend them. But yeah, he, in the course of Operation Underground Railroad's operations, he had female employees who would go with him on these endeavors. And
quote endeavors.
Endeavors. Endeavors. And supposedly, allegedly, during these missions, he would basically have these like cover stories for like why they're in there, what they're doing, things like that. And yeah. as part of these cover stories, he would insist that these female employees have to pose as his wife, and in like their hotel rooms or whatever, that they would have to sleep with him because like the traffickers might be watching them, and they right. really have to sell this false story, and basically like pressuring them into, or even like forcing a kind of encounter like that. So
they're not going to say no.
Wow.
Because of the implication.
Yeah. yeah.
Why would she say no?
This is all alleged, in progress, of course. I don't want to get syndicate sued. But to me,
he's not hurting these women. He wouldn't think of hurting these women, but they're not going to say no.
It's for the kids. Yeah. So
it sounds like someone taking advantage of somebody. Like I said,
I'm not saying Tim Ballard is taking advantage of anybody, but these women are not going to say no.
Yeah.
Because of the implication.
So there's that.
I'm not saying this implication word.
Implication.
Personally, I find the accusations fairly credible. And apparently Operation Underground Railroad found them credible too, because they like don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Allegedly.
But he's part of like the Spear Fund
He created his own company called Spear. I'm sure it's
Spear Fund
means something.
Stands for something cute, but it's basically
it's a portal to give Tim Ballard money.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
And
TimBallard.com.
Another part of this Operation Underground Railroad is that they also did not provide a lot of actual like comprehensive training to volunteers, employees, things like that.
Quote, special forces.
Yeah, for their actual like operations.
They're cosplay Navy SEALs at this point.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They're playing make believe.
I believe it was Vice News that
I'm
had this article.
but
they interviewed people who like went through the job application process to join what they call jump teams, which is the actual like rescue teams. And
okay. It sounds cool.
Yeah. According to their testimony, basically, if you like mentioned Jesus or God at any point during the interview, like you were a shoo-in, the training that they did offer was basically a joke. It's so far removed from what you would hope would happen if a rescue operation involving trafficked kids were to commence.
One guy was like, this is complete bullshit. And
yeah.
He was like the real deal, ex-military. And he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. It's bad.
So if you didn't believe in Jesus and God or like had a different belief, you'd just be boop.
Potentially.
Not even considered for a candidate, or just be like, yeah, it's not you, it's us.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it's more the opposite. Like if you just mentioned it, like they would assume
they put you on the top.
Okay,
of the pile.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
They would assume you have like the qualifications and the character necessary for the job.
In God,
gotcha.
So that means he knows how to do kung fu, jujitsu.
God, there's so much. There was
there's so much. God.
There's so much. There's a lot of exaggeration and false claims made by them in order to raise funds.
And the film.
And in the film.
And Tim Ballard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lies going on.
There is. They had a fundraising campaign where they claimed that each operation would cost between like $30,000 to $40,000. And a representative with an actual like legitimate anti-trafficking organization said the cost is more like $5,000.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Tim Ballard needs money.
Yeah, he needs money.
Yeah, apparently he needs more money than he needs.
Yeah. OUR have claimed to like rescue someone that a representative with the organization that actually helped that kid knows that they did not. Like they didn't do anything, but they're like basically co-opting her story to raise funds.
And on top of that, they changed her age too.
Yeah.
Because like Tim Ballard is up there saying like, I saved this like, say she's like five. Saved this 5 year old. In reality, she was like 18 or something.
Yeah.
What?
He likes them young.
Pulls on the heartstrings.
Yeah.
We'll I saved this child. But actually she was like a teenager. It's like,
Which also ignores the fact that most trafficking victims are in their teens. They're not like
children.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that, like, immediately going into this film, I knew, like, you know, like the most, I mean, think from Taken, to be honest.
Yeah.
That most of the targets have been teens across overseas.
Yeah.
But there's other
they have too.
But Taken's more palatable as well, because it's a college girl being taken.
Yeah.
She is between the age of 18 to 21.
Yeah.
That's more palatable than this movie where it's like under 10.
Yeah.
That are the prime victims. And it's like, I don't want to talk about that.
I think there's a way to tell that kind of story, but without being like exploitative about it.
There are movies that do that. Because I remember there was this movie that I just saw on TV.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
TNT.
I was on TNT.
TNT.
But it was about this like pair of like two boys. I don't remember the title of the film, but like they were abducted by, I assume, a child predator.
Yeah.
And they were like doing the whole true crime thing where they're like locked in the basement.
Yeah.
And then they escape and then they like run out. But it was all through the perspective of them.
Yeah.
You lose something when we're now in the perspective of Tim Ballard. And Tim, I need to save these kids instead of like focusing in on the actual victim, which is Miguel and his sister.
Yeah.
You lose something. It's like, who is this movie for? Is it for the awareness of child trafficking, or is it just like a puff piece for Tim Ballard?
Yeah.
Look how great Tim Ballard is. He's so great. Oh my God. I want to be like Tim Ballard. I want to fuck Tim Ballard.
Yeah. There's so many like inflated claims that he makes.
I bet you has a big dick as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to have one if he's saving these kids,
right?
Yeah,
killing cartel guys, or trafficking children. Oh my God, he probably has a 12-incher.
Yeah,
he's probably black too, even though he's white.
OUR has claimed to work with like police departments from like various countries to like you know, catch the bad guy, etc.
Yeah, they keep on cutting ties with Tim Ballard because it's like, what the fuck
and
are you doing, bro?
It turns out, like, one of the police departments that they claim to have worked with, they're working with them, was like, OUR donating, like, $200,000 to them, which sounds like a lot of money, except they're, if you take into account their actual operating budget, is, like, a drop in the bucket, and basically was, like, made no difference whatsoever.
Wow.
So where is all this money going?
Where is it going? Where's the money going?
Where'd the money go,
Tim? TimBallard.com?
Do you think it's going to save these kids?
No. Okay. Here's the thing with these organizations, because like we've seen this before with like Kony 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Like this Invisible Children or whatever. Like all of these organizations that are like, oh, we need to like the social justice prompt, like we need to save whatever, we need to do this, we need to do that, take action now, donate. Most of that money doesn't go towards the actual operation of whatever you donate it towards, or the victims, or the people in need. It goes to the pocketbook of the people organizing everything. It funnels into the CEOs, the people in charge, the more bureaucracy aspect than actually the action aspect of it.
It's almost the perfect scam, I want to say. Because, like, who in their right mind would ever be against rescuing trafficked children?
Nobody.
Despite the movie's claims that, like, nobody really cares and, like, wake up, sheeple. Like, this is going on right underneath your nose. You gotta... Why don't you care?
Sure, we don't talk about it enough, probably. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like we don't care, you know.
I'm not red-pilled. I'm not blue-pilled. I'm clear-pilled. See through the Matrix.
And yet,
these kids.
There is a particular demographic that is very loud and vocal about abducted children, and that would be the QAnon crowd.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Oh, my God.
We're back into QAnon.
Ooh, we just can't quit.
Now, why is QAnon at the center of this? Because like that was a big critique of this film. Like, oh, this is a QAnon movie. And when you watch the movie, like we said, it was mid.
Yeah.
It's pretty bland. Nowhere does it say QAnon or even remotely inference any sort of conspiracy theory. But a key thing with the QAnon conspiracy theory is that they believe that global elite are trafficking children to not only assault, but also to harvest their blood so they can drink the adrenochrome.
Yeah.
Mm, yum, yum. Adrenochrome.
What adrenochrome? What the heck is this?
It doesn't exist, first of all.
What is adrenochrome? I've never heard of this in my life.
It's a certain, I don't even know what it is, certain
chemical compound.
Yeah, in the blood of children and people like Bill Gates drink the blood of, or Al Gore drink the blood of children. They're usually Democrats. Drink the blood of children to stay young.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Essentially, vampires.
Are we vampires now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're using the vampire mythos to perpetuate this. Now, vampires do exist, but not in the way you think, because
they drain wallets.
Yes, we have those vampires, but also the vampires of like child predators.
Yeah.
Who create people with aces, who then become predators.
Check out our syndicate episode on Fright Night for more about that.
Exactly. Episode one.
That's a throwback.
Episode one. It all comes together. Yeah. Full circle. But seriously, like, that is at the core of the QAnon conspiracy theory, is that with Epstein, you know, having all these children on his island, the part of it is like they're drinking the blood of kids. Like they're abducting them. They're assaulting them. They're also killing them. Harvesting their blood so they stay young forever.
Which, by the way, that's a very old anti-Semitic conspiracy. The blood libels goes back to the Middle Ages. These like rumors of like Jewish people kidnapping kids and like drinking their blood and everything.
It's very based.
Which that got wrapped up into the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is 1915-1920-ish conspiracy theory about Jews in the upper levels of world government trying to like take over the world.
Hitler?
Yeah, that fueled Nazi ideology.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And one of their claims was powerful, influential Jewish people like drinking the blood of kids.
I want some blood with my bagels.
and Tim Ballard talked about it on Jordan Peterson's podcast, where he mentioned like an African child lab where they like would like abduct kids too and like harvest their blood and organs. It's the same thing.
The world.
Oh my God.
The world is very strange.
Yeah,
it is.
I'm not going to rule out that maybe there is some cannibalistic operations going on in our world. I'm not going to rule that out.
Sure.
However, are the global elites involved in Bohemian Grove, drinking the blood of children, sacrificing them to the god of Moloch?
Hey, they have billions of dollars that can do whatever they want, so...
That Stephen Hawking was at Epstein Island.
Oh, my God.
Watching midgets fornicate. But anyways.
What else are they doing with their money?
Like any good conspiracy theory, there is a kernel of truth.
And then they run with it.
Then they run with it. And that's where the Jim Caviezel angle comes in. Because JC, Jesus Christ, Jim Caviezel, got famous for Passion of the Christ. And I think he was relatively normal at the time. But
no, I remember liking his portrayal as Jesus Christ.
I never saw Passion.
I was forced to watch it at Catholic school. And
oh, yeah.
They were like,
I didn't watch it. I didn't want to see a dude get tortured for like 3 hours.
It's the Saw movie that never was.
Yeah, I'll never watch that movie again, by the way. Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, it's a Saw movie that never was. Yeah, it's something.
That's the best description I've heard of that movie.
It really is.
I want to play a game.
It really is. It's Christian torture porn.
You said anyway, you're the son of God.
I think he was like relatively normal at the time of making that, but at some point he bought into the whole QAnon conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I know they started production on Sound of Freedom like 2015-ish, and then I think it really got going like 2017, 2018.
The thing is, he's probably a Alex Jones subscriber, because Alex Jones has been talking about this for a long time.
Yes.
That there is some sort of place where the global elite go to... kidnap kid, child trafficking rings that's funded by the U.S. government, and the elite go, and so I'm sure
Who's Alex Jones, if you don't mind me asking?
He's an
I live under a rock.
He's a radio host from Austin, Texas.
You're a fun guest to have, Doug Kiflake. You ask all the good questions.
And he is like the grandfather of all conspiracy theories.
Oh, I'm gonna have to take a look at him sometime.
Back in the early 2000s, he was relatively okay because he was like questioning Bush and 9/11 mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And
the Iraq War.
He was like a big proponent of like, oh, we need to stop the war. This isn't right. There's a shadow government. And then he latched on to far right conspiracy theorists.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. He started marketing towards them, and then that's where he is right now.
Oh no.
There's a great there's a great global reset happening right now. You have to
A lot of apocalyptic like
the end of days.
Oh god.
He advocated for a long time that the Sandy Hook shooting was like a complete facade. Completely faked.
For 10 years, he wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah. What? All the parents were like crisis actors, all that. And it was like a ploy to reduce gun rights in America. He actually like lost in court big time about that. And he's like, he's losing all the money.
He owes the families, the victims of Sandy Hook, $1 billion.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy crap. Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, claiming that that's a Jesus.
He is fucked.
He is.
And now he's peddling on, I believe, Blaze.com along with Louder with Crowder.
Yeah, there's like no.
He's sold out.
No like legitimate social media company wants him.
So don't check him out.
He's been deplatformed everywhere.
Except X.com.
Yeah. I think he's
back on X.
Twitter.
Yes, the website formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. But Jim Caviezel got hooked into QAnon.
He got hooked into that shit.
He was, oh goodness, there's this like rally, I want to say like shortly before January 6th.
The Save America rally?
It might have been. Is that where like Eric Metaxas was there and they were like blowing a shofar and like.
They're blowing a shofar?
A shofar is like a ram horn trumpet thing. It's like a Jewish thing.
They weren't like sucking the dick of a limo driver?
No.
They're blowing a shofar. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like this weird like Christian like, I don't know.
Like
it's
the walls of Jericho shit?
Yeah. That's what they were trying to do. And offending Jewish people at the same time, which that's quite the accomplishment. But Jim Caviezel spoke at that. And basically touting like QAnon.
Oh my god, he is a
dyed-in-the-wool like fanatic about QAnon.
Fuck.
And he he was like all the QAnon talking points. He was
Shit.
Look that up. Where we go, we go all. he got
trust head, the plan.
So he's like heavily involved in that. And
wow, he's stupid.
Yeah.
Doug almost did a spit.
And so his involvement with this movie is suspect because
I don't think it's sus because he's totally on board with this ideology.
Well, if this is supposed to be a legitimate movie about a legitimate man doing legitimate work,
originally funded by 20th Century Fox,
then like there, you know, it becomes less suspicious. But the fact that a major QAnon supporter is a part of this, and it appeals to the QAnon base, who believes that there's like an evil cabal of elites trafficking children and drinking their blood. It kind of develops a life of its own, and that kind of leads into the actual release of this movie.
Here's the thing. If production began in 2015, mm-hmm. do you think because of the subject matter of this film, he got radicalized by QAnon? Because like QAnon,
it's possible.
QAnon started after Trump was elected president.
Yeah.
So this predates even Trump even announcing he was even going to run for president.
It's quite possible that old JC got just this is another acting job for him and this is what he wants to do. And then he like looks into child trafficking and then gets radicalized.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about that.
Dumb.
Yeah. I don't know enough about that to say one way or the other. It very well could have been a series of events.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
But when they're trying to find distribution for this movie, and it's right around the time when QAnon is taking off and becoming this whole weird subculture.
Trust the plan.
Yeah, because that was pre-2020. right?
It turns out you have a kind of built-in audience for this movie that is relatively mid and mediocre in all respects. But if it's playing up to the fears and desires of a particular demographic, it can find success where otherwise it would not have.
Do you love children? Yeah. Do you want to protect children?
Yes.
Then you should buy at least $75 worth of tickets.
Yeah.
So people can watch this movie for free.
That's where
no one's watching it for free because they're just empty theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Angel Studios comes in. They provide the conservative audience for this movie. So they're inadvertently or not scooping up a bunch of QAnon conspiracy theorists who are have a built-in desire to see this kind of movie. And they play off of that in order to, let's not say inflate ticket sales. Let's say pay it forward.
Yeah, they did a pay it forward, and they paid it forward to nobody.
Yeah, that's yeah. Let's talk about that. So
they cook the books.
Yeah.
Earlier, we talked about how VidAngel, Angel Studios, basically got watchers of their streaming service to invest in movies by having them like prepay tickets to go see it.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. they did a similar thing when they wanted to release Sound of Freedom. And the marketing campaign that they had was basically like, this is a super important movie to see because of this noble cause. We want to be able to make sure that as many people as possible see this movie. If they can't afford it, would you be willing to pay it forward by buying a ticket ahead of time for someone else to redeem and watch? And by all accounts, this actually like legitimately worked. If you had to go to like a certain website and
Tim Ballard.
And like provide your email address, but then
TimBallard.com.
Yeah. Basically pinky swear to actually redeem the ticket and watch the movie. And then if you did,
they won't.
You would have a, well, they actually did. James from Fundy Fridays actually followed through on this and
really
got a legitimate ticket to go see this. The problem was they didn't really coordinate with a lot of theaters to actually like make sure that everybody was on the same page as far as redeeming these tickets. So there were some problems there. And
no shit.
The issue was on paper, pretty good idea. If this is a movie about a noble cause and you want enough people to see it,
yeah.
And you don't want economics budget concerns to be a thing in the way, this is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
The problem was you're getting people who are ideologically committed to a certain message that this movie is promoting, and you're saying, hey, pay it forward to other people to see this. How much do you want to pay this forward? How many tickets can you personally finance to make sure that other people see this movie? And which you go from buying one ticket to go see a movie to buying a dozen more.
Because it's $100 to someone that has disposable income.
If someone think about it. 1,000 people have disposable income and they spend $100 worth on tickets.
That's $100,000.
That's $100,000.
Yeah.
Boom.
And they believe that they're participating in this righteous cause by spreading the word.
And we know Christians
raising awareness.
Have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've been to plenty of fundraisers.
The sad thing is a lot of them don't. And yet they feel compelled enough by the message of this movie to dig deep and fork over cash.
Does
anyway.
It count as tithing?
No. It's, dang, I mean it's televangelism all over again, but this time not presented as such. It's without the religious trappings.
But if you donate...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You will go to heaven.
Yeah. more
God will love you even more.
More or less. It's for the kids.
Do you love children as much as I do, Tim Ballard?
Yeah. And they do have little things like if you redeem...
Scan this QR code.
Well, if you redeem one of these tickets, then you can see like the first name of the person who like funded that ticket. So there is a kind of personal connection. And you can see like, yes, I did good. By funding a ticket for someone to go see this movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's called social proofing.
Yeah.
Yep.
However, what you're really doing is funneling money into this movie production company.
TimBallard.com.
And there's no way to guarantee that people are actually redeeming these tickets and seeing the movie. And that's what led to this like sub conspiracy theory about Sound of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of hubbub on social media when this movie came out, because supposedly this movie was selling tickets like hotcakes, sold out showings.
Oh my God.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And then people showing up to these showings at the theater and nobody's watching
the movie.
Nobody's
there.
Yeah. There's
who's funding these showings?
There's issues with like projection and air conditioning, and this like sub conspiracy theory started to pop up that people are like censoring this movie and trying to make it so that people can't see it because the truth is so hard.
I remember that air conditioning shit, and I was just like, oh, come on, get out of here.
Okay. These people never worked at a movie theater?
Yeah.
That happens every day.
Yeah. Aaron.
Yeah.
First of all, I saw Scream 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. 6. And, like, the projection was broken. My cousin afterwards was like, oh, man, the color grading of it was so low. And I'm like,
yeah.
No, the projection was broken. Do you think they actually made it like that? No.
Yeah. But the lamp sucks.
Here's the thing. Why do Christians have this martyr syndrome going on? Oh, the whole world hates me. They're out to get me. You hate me because I'm Christian. And the normal people are like, no, I hate you because you're standing in traffic yelling at me. What the fuck are you doing?
Go on with your life. Move on.
There's a lot of answers to that. I would say it's a symptom of a larger problem in our kind of, I guess, postmodern society.
Because I'm a victim.
Well, if your life...
Oppression Olympics? People, the race to the bottom? Is that what you're saying right now?
If your life lacks meaning, you're going to try to find it wherever you can, even if you have to make up opponents to do that.
In QAnon.
Yeah.
The pedophiles.
Tribalism and us versus them is such a powerful, ingrained instinct within humanity,
the Rothschilds,
that like, yeah, if you have no major enemies, then it's
the Jews.
It's very compelling to create them in order to rally people to such and such cause.
Isn't
or another
that called schizophrenia?
And
that's why people with mental disorders are drawn towards radicalized religion. You know it to be true. Yes, Doug.
I have mental issues, and I'm not.
We all have mental issues.
I'm not drawn to that, but that's okay.
What I'm saying is,
sorry.
Voices in your head. Oh my God, God is speaking to me.
People have figured out that you can leverage these kind of base human instincts for profit. For
he's absolutely right.
You can leverage these base instincts for profit.
Based.
What is fascinating is when you get these like Venn diagram overlaps of different motivations, causes that, in my opinion, I think a lot of the people involved in this Sound of Freedom story have good intentions and are not trying to rip people off.
People with money.
In
people
effect,
that are gullible. People that believe in QAnon or conspiracy theories. And then right in the middle of all those people that pay $100 or more for other people to watch the film Sound of Freedom. Jim Caviezel.
Well, what's fascinating to me about this whole thing is that sometimes you could spot a grifter, someone who doesn't actually believe what they're saying, but they're saying the right things in order to get money out of people, build an audience, whatever. I'm not so sure that's what's going on with Sound of Freedom, Operation Underground Railroad. I think the major players involved, each for their own reasons, are doing what they do because they believe they're doing the right thing. The Harmon brothers trying to provide family-friendly or let's call it conservative entertainment to people that want that sort of thing. You have Tim Ballard, who maybe believes that he's doing everything that he can to legitimately save children, and in some cases maybe he has improved their lives. You have
here's the thing, Aaron, and you know this
because
you did research on this film.
Yeah,
Tim Ballard has fabricated a lot of these stories.
He has.
Like, you know that scene in the film where he saves Miguel, brother of the main driving force of the film? Like, oh, I gotta save this daughter.
I had no idea about this fabrication, by the way.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. So, at the border crossing, you know how, like, he saved Miguel from that child trafficker who was posing to be his uncle?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The real story, so in the film it's depicted, like, Tim Ballard was there, like, oh, I need to, like, save, oh, there he is, that's the kid from the photo. And even Tim Ballard in multiple interviews has said, like, oh, my God, I was there, and, like, I saw the kid in the photo. I was like, oh, my God, I saw the kid that I saw online. Oh, my God, he's there in real life. In the actual situation, he didn't arrive to that scene of them saving Miguel until afterwards. What? He wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
That entire story of him, like oh, I was by the car and I locked eyes with Miguel and he was the kid that I saw on the computer. That's a complete lie.
Yeah.
And I know these movies are always based on true stories and they always, you know, try to spin the truth just a little bit. It's loosely based on it, but I don't know how I feel about that now.
You know, well,
that's you now.
Do you want to get real depressed about that?
Yeah.
He relied on that story when he testified in front of Congress during the Trump administration to pass a bill to strengthen border control.
What? Really?
Because
he lied.
He lied because...
That's perjury, my friend.
According to this story, it was because of a strong border that he was able to save Miguel. And so therefore, we need to strengthen the border to help save further kids. So that's where I'm like tangled up in this, because I think if... It would be a lot more pathetic if he was just grifting for cash. And I think there's a part of him. First of all, fuck Tim Ballard. I'm not trying to defend him. I think he's a piece of shit in a lot of ways. What I'm trying to say is I think there's a core of him that actually believes that he's genuinely doing what he does to save kids. It's kind of like if you remember that whole Jussie Smollett case.
Yeah.
Juicy Smoothie.
Yeah.
I knew right away he was fucking lying because I remember that night.
I remember that
too.
It was
like 30 below. And he's like, I was walking outside. I'm like, no.
No, you weren't.
Obviously, he was lying. But his claim was that he was lying, but things like that happen to people all the time. And so he's playing into the fiction of it, but it represents a reality that he believes in. And so he believes he's doing the right thing, even if for the wrong reasons. I think something similar is going on with Tim here, where he believes that he's stretching the truth and doing all these deplorable things, but it's to save the kids. And I think that goes to the audience members, too, who are kind of duped into paying it forward, where they genuinely are moved by the cause of this movie and want to fight child trafficking, and they believe that they're doing the right thing by spreading the word and allowing more people to see this movie and potentially do more action. In reality, they're funneling cash into this weirdo studio that's like only exists just to like make more content to make more money.
TimBallard.com.
That's where I'm at with this. I'm like, I don't think this is just simple grifting. I think it's pulling on a lot more deeper motivations for humanity than maybe we're ready to deal with.
I don't want to get off the fence yet, but before we do, that's why I think my original proposition, does he protest a little too much? Because I think, because it's like, he's not grifting. He's not doing this for monetary gain. Is he doing this because he's trying to mask his actual feeling towards, for sure, women?
Yeah.
but maybe for kids. I'm not saying he's a pedo, but he does have a dark side to him.
Yeah.
Before you answer, I have to point this out because I know it's something with Cell Block that we've been drinking this whole time.
Yeah.
It was made in 2019.
Oh.
This is some pre-war shit.
Oh. Hell yeah. I knew you wouldn't let us down.
Nah.
Okay. Doth he protest too much? I mean, it's not for nothing that he's Mormon. You know, shout out to all our Mormon listeners. We love you. But yep. There's a certain proclivity among conservative, particularly conservative religious groups that try to suppress sexuality. I think we've talked about it before in various measures with like
The Duggar family.
The Duggar family, IBLP, the purity culture thing.
Keeps
where if you suppress something like that, that's so like basic to humanity, like it's going to pop up somewhere in some ways. And yeah, it's going to be in a much more corrupted form, I think.
What a fucking
I don't know Tim Ballard. I don't know if there's allegedly. Yeah. I don't know if there's evidence to say that he's got a weird thing for kids or whatever.
Why is he so hyper fixated on children? I understand like they are the socially marginalized and we need to protect them. We need to protect the people that can't protect themselves.
Yeah.
But I don't. Why does he has this like mission in life?
I
and it's like, what called you to this? This isn't normal behavior. Yeah. Yeah. A normal behavior is like, we need to save the fucking kids. Not like I need to talk about it all the time. I need to go on every single podcast, every single news network. And I need to make a movie about me doing this. And it's like,
it's certainly
what was going on here.
It's certainly possible, and there's always the risk when it comes to psychoanalyzing people. So this is all alleged.
We're doing armchair psychoanalyzing.
We're just talking about it.
We're talking about it.
He's
a public figure. I could comment on him.
It's certainly possible that someone who has these kind, not talking about Tim Ballard, but someone, just an imaginary person, who has these kinds
Jim.
Of...
not Tim.
Jim, not Tim. Jim Tallard. who has these kinds of desires for children, might feel an intense guilt about it, might feel like disgusted at their own impulses, and in seeking to resolve that, goes on a crusade to fight against child traffickers, etc. But does so in a way that proves that they're a good guy, that proves that they are not who they might feel inside as someone who has these kinds of urges, but is really a good person who's trying to like put an end to this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're just talking about an imaginary person who might be in this kind of situation.
Yeah, this person is like, I'm not a pedophile.
See, I'm putting them in prison.
Yeah.
I care about the kids.
I'm fighting them.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking them.
That would seem to make sense of some things. I
never trust a predator.
Never trust them. But I strongly
fucking line. Don't trust a child predator.
I know. I strongly want to precaution here that I don't think there's evidence yet, or maybe at all, that Jim Tim here.
He doesn't act on his impulses.
He doesn't.
Which is what the character said in the movie.
Although if we are to believe him that he like earned a pedophile's trust enough to like get a child delivered to him, either he's making that shit up or he actually was convincing enough to do that. And it might be one of those takes one to know one kind of situations.
And the thing about that is those scenes, when they do that scene in the actual movie, it is so brushed over. It happens so quickly. I was just like, wait, what? How did you gain this person's trust? How did you just convince him? It's like literally it's like a course of like 3 minutes. I felt like in the movie.
Yeah.
where it's like, okay, I'm going to befriend you. Okay, now I got you. And I'm like, wait, what just happened?
Was clearly sending him CP, and he was jerking his snake to it.
Yeah.
This is the only way to convince, like, oh, yeah, I'm the real deal.
Ooh.
Like, you don't have to, like, you know, be too graphic about it, but they brush it over so much where I was like, okay, I really, like, this, I'm in a state now of, like, I don't believe this now. I don't believe that you were able to convince somebody, a child predator, that you were a child predator too, essentially.
Now, yeah. Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that predator was named Eric, the guy that busted him in the diner. Tim Ballard didn't actually arrest him, did he? Because I think he actually lied about that too.
Did he?
I would not be surprised.
Oh my God. How much stuff did they embezzle in this movie? Like,
they embezzled, like, money. I know... He lied about everything.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I know movies are dramatized, but it's like, how far from the truth are you at?
I don't know.
Going to religion with that too. Isn't that against God to lie?
Well, if it's for a noble cause, you can kind of excuse all sorts of behavior, like pressuring women into sleeping with you.
You got me there. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
They're
at
not
that,
gonna
but...
say no, because of the implication. Are you suggesting we're harming these? No. Not at all. But they're not gonna say no.
Ooh.
You've seen that Always Sunny episode.
Yes, I have. That's where my mind's going to right now.
That's Tim Ballard. Oh, my God. I just... Let's get off the fence.
Yeah.
I have a question, and it's about Tim Ballard.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
All right. Actually, before we get to Tim Ballard, does this film do more harm or does it help the victims of human trafficking?
I'm on the fence about that.
Time to get off the fence.
But if I have to get off the fence, does it do more harm or does it do more good? I mean,
'cause
I feel like it does do good, but by bringing it more into light, you know, by bringing up people to, you know, discuss it more.
Right.
That part is the good part about it, I feel like.
But we have this film that's centered around so much controversy and steeped in conspiracy theories where it's like people are even questioning, like, is this actually an issue? Child human trafficking?
Yeah.
Even though it is... I mean, we can all agree that it is real.
I mean, at the end of the movie, I was floored by the statistics that it showed. But then after that, I was like, I just forgot everything else almost from the movie. Like, just show me the statistics. And then I was like, okay.
This could have been
that's
email.
About that. That's the whole movie right there.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
So do you think it does more harm or do you think it actually helps these victims, the actual victims of human trafficking?
If we're talking about the actual victims, I feel like it doesn't do enough for the victims.
No.
It doesn't. It straight up doesn't.
I do agree. If we're looking at this movie in a vacuum, it does not treat the victims like real people. It treats them like props. It doesn't tell the truth about how a lot of these trafficking cases actually happen. And if you wanted to make a movie to tell their story in a way to raise awareness and support for this kind of issue, there's so many more responsible ways that you could have done this.
Do it from their point of view.
Yeah. This movie was very exploitative in that regard. I mean, the opening credits, you see like actual surveillance footage of like real kids being kidnapped, which that's not cool.
Where'd they get those footage from?
Yeah. During
LiveLeak.com.
I don't know, but, during a lot of this movie, they basically go as far as they can to portray kids being abused without actually showing anything, and like that feels deeply uncomfortable. Like, you didn't have to do that. They claim that with the child actors, they did not tell them the context of whatever scenes that they were doing, to protect them from that. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't believe it.
It's all sus.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a version of there's a universe where this movie exists, and it's done so responsibly in a way that's a compelling narrative, but makes it about the victims and about trying to help them. This movie's not it.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
If when you add everything around the movie, Operation Underground Railroad, Angel Studios, Jim Caviezel, QAnon, it's such a mess and such a net negative that I don't think it's actually helping anybody except maybe the Harmon brothers.
And going off of that too, I deep dived into Reddit this morning before I got here to like everybody's like, there I was just seeing, you know, like people's point of views, like on the movies and stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff we've already brought up, but there's a lot of people who were just like, yeah, this movie was totally done in a Christian limelight to where it just, I mean, to be honest, people were like, yeah, this ruined the movie for me.
Mm.
And I was just like, especially with the quotes with like the quotes with God in it a couple of times, those quotes, I was just like, it took me out of it.
They were smart though. They did not make it too overtly Christian.
They didn't.
They could have gone further if they really wanted like a God's not dead kind of movie.
Yes.
There's like two mention of like God's children are not for sale.
Yeah. Right? They didn't have too many.
There was the story with Bill Camp's character, Vampiro.
Yes.
Like, you know, oops, accidentally slept with a child who is a prostitute.
Yeah.
But God, and you know, I was going to kill myself, but God told me not to. And now I'm, you know, trying to rescue them. I
put the gun to my head.
That part I was compelled with.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Bill Camp, he was like the only actor that actually did a good job. Was yes. Like trying during this movie.
Yes. He did a fantastic job. When he was like there, Burke he Kreischer. Carried it.
Yeah, he looks like Burke Kreischer.
Yes, he does. I watched The Machine recently, and you know, I couldn't help but stop thinking about the Machine movie when I was watching this movie.
Yeah,
he's gonna take his shirt off.
Yeah, he was like the only redeeming quality of this movie. I think the rest of it was just kind of, ranged from to really uncomfortable
because he actually acted.
Yeah,
he played a character.
Yeah,
he played a likable character.
He had a narrative arc.
Yeah,
and honestly, I would have rather had the movie made me uncomfortable throughout the whole entire movie because that's how I felt in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then I kind of lost that a lot of times. I kind of gained it back like maybe one or two times, but aside from that, I'm like, you should have leaned into being more uncomfortable for me throughout the whole entire movie.
I 100% agree. Like when I started it and like that intro sequence was happening, I was like,
this
God
is the
give me strength.
Yep. I was like, this is the tone. Please keep this tone. And it doesn't.
Yeah. It's trying to be like a Seven or like a Zodiac.
Yes.
For sure.
This
it should have been a David Fincher. David Fincher should have directed this film.
Yeah. Yes.
But David Fincher was like, no.
He's also extremely talented and methodical director, which is probably what you need for material like this if you want like a nuanced kind of approach to it. But alas.
What that we means got was we should reboot Sound of Freedom.
No!
We'll call it The Sound of Freedom.
God.
Funded by syndicatestudios.com.
Sounds of Freedom?
The Sounds of Freedom.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about that line.
Yeah, I was about ready to say that line. I was like, can I ask you guys a question about how you guys felt about that line being in the movie?
That? That's the sound of freedom.
I laughed.
I thought that was the ending of the movie.
I thought too.
And then the movie kept on going.
It went on for like another like half hour. And I'm like,
no.
Like, what just happened?
That was the thematic end of the movie, and it kept on going. I was like, oh.
You just didn't see Tim Ballard being a superhero enough.
Nope. I guess not.
We should have just seen Tim Ballard's cock, and I would have been happy.
Oh, my God.
Just whip it out. Let me see that freaking 15-incher.
He's so virile, he's got 8 kids.
That's how he killed the main bad guy. Strangled him with his dick. And then when so he finally saves Maria. I don't even remember.
Rocio.
He kills the dude. And we don't even see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It cuts to black. I thought of you, Aaron.
Yeah.
When you're talking about fireproof, like, yeah. Oh, the climactic moment of the film where, like, the characters are, like, kissing each other.
Yeah.
And it's done in shadow 15 yeah. feet away. It's like,
yeah.
That's what we got with this. And when he's killing the main cartel member or the boss of the human traffic. Yeah. El Jefe.
Yeah.
And it turns to black. And we don't see it.
Yeah, because she closes her eyes.
I'm like, fuck you. Are you kidding me? I want to see the money shot.
Yeah.
Again,
it's like when you're on Pornhub.com and then they fade to black before the money shot. It's like, what the fuck?
Again, I
now
wonder.
I'm just angry and mad.
I wonder if Angel Studios had a hand in that because.
Of course they did.
They need to make the movie edgy enough to be compelling that like you want to watch it and you feel like. If you're like a super conservative, like you feel like you're getting away with something, like, oh, they said shit twice.
Yeah.
they said the F word once.
They can't actually commit enough to it to make it like a David Fincher type procedural where like it's unrelenting and they don't let you get comfortable for the whole thing. And so you get this kind of like middle of the road, boring nonsense.
Yep. I totally agree.
Bullshit. It's a bunch of bullshit. Okay. My second question is Tim Ballard a grifter?
I can't make up my mind about that one.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
I thought long and hard.
Long, and after hard, and throbbing?
Yeah, long, hard, full of semen, just like a submarine.
There you go.
I think he is.
Okay.
Like, all the signs, you have to go with your gut with this. And I think, personally, Tim Ballard is... Grifton, he is making a fuck ton of money with all of this. Going to TimBallard.com. Everything funnels to TimBallard.com. All these stupid bullshit LLCs he's making. It's all funneling to TimBallard.com.
Yeah.
And Angel Studios is helping too. They're giving him money and he's peddling his nonsense. He's a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, this is my story. Buy my product and... He's not actually making a difference in the world.
Mm-mm.
If he was making a difference in the world, I wouldn't say he is a grifter, but he's really not. He's doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I would say in effect, it doesn't really matter so much like where his motivations are, because in effect he's grifting. In terms of like hijacking a noble cause in order for personal financial gain.
Co-opt.
I think it runs a bit more deeper for him, where there's this kind of like obsessive need to prove to the world how awful this cause is.
And how he's not a pedo.
And how he's like the hero to stop it all. Mm-hmm. I think, again, I don't know the guy, allegedly. I'm not trying
Jim Tallard
necessarily to like psychoanalyze him, but I can't help but wonder like what his motivations are that would bring him to this kind of place. And so it makes me wonder.
I would suspect he's a freak.
I would suspect
he's into some freaky shit, just like Josh Duggar.
Yeah. I maybe would not suspect as much if it weren't for the accusations that he's been accused of.
Multiple women.
Yeah, and that whole case. So yeah, kind of a bad look when the founder and president of your organization rescuing children from traffickers has some sexual skeletons in his own closet.
You need to fuck me because I'm your husband in this situation and they're watching us, trust me.
Yeah, that's gross.
Now suck my dick.
Doug, do you think he's a grifter?
I'm kind of with you, Aaron, on this whole entire thing. Like, you know, I feel like I kind of need to know a little bit more. But, I mean, from what I've seen from, like, the movie and from what I've been told from you guys, to be honest, I didn't get enough of his own motivation to be like, okay, there's, like, this seems okay to me. Like, you know, you have perfectly amount of motivation to be doing this right now. I totally understand it. It's justifiable. There are red flags in there where I was just like... Is he doing this for true purposes, or is he just doing this for himself?
With so many red flags, he might as well be in Moscow in Red Square.
Ayo.
Yeah, so...
It's a Six Flags season pass holder.
And especially like with this movie, I looked up to see if he was like a producer on this. No, but he is a producer coming up with like a Passion of the Christ sequel. I don't know if you guys knew that, but
Passion of the Christ 2. Crucify this.
For Jim Carseval, but like, yeah, for Tim, I'm thinking that I don't know the guy, but he could have been in this for his own selfish reasons.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If he wanted to make a voice, if he wanted to actually stand up for himself and he made this movie about him, he should have given more of a reason of why he was going to go save these kids.
Yeah.
If they wanted to paint him in a better light than, you know, because of all these, I'm surprised that they didn't try to paint him in a better light with all these sexual, you said it was sexual assault claims with women?
Five different women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they didn't try to paint him better in Sound of Freedom.
I mean, they painted him pretty well.
They did, but I mean,
this guy doing all these operations, he went in, put his own neck on the line to save a little girl into a base of rebels in the jungle. He's like Rambo.
Yeah.
Okay, you got
how
me
can,
there.
How can
yeah,
you
got
even
me there.
Paint him, like,
and to be fair,
maybe at
a lot
the
of
end
you.
Of the movie, ascends into heaven.
Yeah. To be fair, a lot of these allegations happened after the movie premiered.
Okay.
And the movie was, like, produced years before that.
Okay. Well, watching it and when I was seeing it in kind of that limelight, I felt like it was, like, putting him more on a pedestal than he really should have been.
Hmm. Well, you, my friend, Doug, are a more discerning viewer than most.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy.
How can a bad guy be so against child trafficking?
Here's the thing. Here's my third question.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is this film more about the victims of child trafficking? Or is this about Tim Ballard?
This is about Tim Ballard.
It's 100% about Tim Ballard. Were either of you familiar with the post-movie message that played in theaters?
I saw it.
What?
The video that I saw on streaming did not have it.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. In theaters, during its theatrical run,
uh-huh.
you know how, like, movies where they show, like, the credits on one side and then the other side they show, like, video?
Yeah.
Either, like, behind the scenes or bloopers or whatever. So with Sound of Freedom, they showed Jim Caviezel talking, like, telling the audience, like, pretty much the call to action was, if you would like other people to see this film, like, this film is so important because of the subject matter, please consider paying it forward and buying tickets for other people to see it for free. And a QR code appeared on the screen. So there was a call to action at the end of the film to buy tickets. So even though, say, like, I went to the theaters and bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Movie ends. And then the CTA was, hey, buy more tickets.
But I just bought a ticket.
give me mm-hmm. even more money
to
watch this film. So it's like I paid, I don't know, like, say, like, $15.
Yeah.
Now it's asking me to scan a QR code to donate even more money towards this production. And the default when scanning the QR code is that I believe it's 5 tickets, which equates $75.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's the default.
And yet,
default is 5?
Default
is
5.
You are really trying to get, you're really trying to go for more ticket sales.
Yeah.
You're trying to get more money as much as you possibly can.
Yeah. And that feeds into the whole tomfoolery with the box office returns where they're able to report like $200 million is the, you know, most successful indie movie ever when that doesn't necessarily translate to butts in seats.
No.
And yet that call to action happens when your typical audience member for this movie is at their most, like, emotionally vulnerable.
Right. You just watched a whole movie. You saw this complete arc, and then you're convinced. How long was this movie? Like 2 hours?
It's like 2 hours and like 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there with the journey with Tim Ballard saving these kids. And then by the end of the movie, it's like, oh my God. And then it like leaves you with like some text of dialogue, like, so many people are still enslaved and we have to save them. And then the actor that plays Tim Ballard comes on screen and is like, if you want to spread the awareness,
I didn't see that.
Consider
on Amazon
buying more tickets.
I was going to bring that up because
fuck.
it's not,
I'm gonna pay money.
It's not Tim Ballard telling people to do this. It's Jim Caviezel. To a lot of the people watching this movie, their mental image of Jesus is Jim Caviezel. It's pretty much Jesus telling them to go do this.
I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
And we all know Jesus looks like Ewan McGregor from episode 3.
I mean, that's the true Jesus.
Yes, that is true Jesus.
Jim Caviezel, he's the Antichrist now.
He's in the desert.
Yeah.
He is Emperor Palpatine. Do what must be done. Do not hesitate. Give more money.
Exactly. Do it. Oh, it's so grimy. It's filthy.
He's a grifter.
He's
grifting,
even grifting. If he's able to convince himself that he's doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
For a noble cause. Oh, we didn't even touch on this, but in the original run of the movie, in the credits, were like major financial backers for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them ended up getting busted for child trafficking.
I remember. Let's talk about it. I remember you guys bringing that up.
Let's talk about it.
They yanked his name from the credits for the streaming version.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Are they allowed to do that?
I guess. They can do whatever they want.
Fucking Harvey Weinstein is still on so many movies. Yank his
God.
Name.
Yeah. Kind of a bad look.
Very bad look.
Wow. What?
Ugh. And another weird connection with Jim Caviezel asking to like pay it forward after the movie. There's a similar strategy with the Left Behind movie.
Really?
Oddly enough, yeah. So what they did, this was, I don't know, late 90s, early 2000s, when this movie came out. They had Kirk Cameron at the end. Originally, it did not go to theaters first. It went to VHS tape first. And they sent it out or like sold it to a bunch of different churches around the country for like their own screenings and like sold it to like families and stuff like that. And at the end of the VHS tape, after the movie was over, they were like, hey, we want to make sure that Left Behind is successful in theaters. So here's the actual theatrical release date. Make sure you go see it and buy tickets for other people to see it too. Bring your family, bring your youth group, bring your friends, bring everybody. And similarly, that was a fairly successful movie, all things considered. It's all connected.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. My God. So they used a business model that worked before, again.
Yeah, this was this was before the internet was so common in households. But they did have a kind of a grassroots marketing campaign for the movie in order to get it to be a box office success, and therefore in the news and media and to finance future projects.
And Left Behind, Doug, I've never seen Left Behind.
I've never seen Left Behind.
But Left Behind is about the end of days, the apocalypse, where, I don't even think it's biblical, where.
Yeah, was it biblical?
It's a very particular, weird interpretation of Revelation and the end times and all that.
Where people are raptured. The Christians are raptured to go to heaven.
So yeah. This is us?
And people that are left behind.
Yeah.
It's
based this on, is the end? It's sorry.
It's based on a very popular book series that was written in like the 80s and 90s.
Left Behind.
Called Left Behind.
Okay.
And then this was the movie adaptation of the first book behind. In that series. Yeah. And so it already had a built-in audience. They wanted to make it mainstream, pretty much. And therefore, that marketing campaign. Thing is, I would absolutely watch Left Behind way more than I would ever rewatch Sound of Freedom.
Nicolas Cage? Left Behind or no, something no. else?
That was a remake.
That was the remake. We got to go okay. older.
We got to go older.
Got to go way back.
So we got to go like 2000?
Yeah. At least Left Behind was like an entertaining story and like an entertaining movie.
Really?
It's not great, but it's like at least more...
I don't know.
It's I don't even know.
It's a better watch than Sound of Freedom.
I would 100% would love to do a Left Behind podcast.
Oh my God.
Fuck, even live stream. I don't know. Whatever the
live role. Reaction.
Yeah.
Live reaction like, to it.
Maybe the Nick Cage version.
Yeah. At least Left Behind is like mostly harmless in comparison to Sound of Freedom. Like Left Behind has some weird views about the end times, and arguably that particular view of the end times is why there's so much grassroots support for Israel.
What was
and
the
all that?
What was the terminology with that? I forget.
Post-millennial dispensationalism.
But it was like either pre or post, because like the thing is like with the tribulation, either Christians are raptured before tribulation or after tribulation.
Yeah, this would be pre-trib.
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 My God.
Pre-tribulation rapture.
Talking theology now.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for the final question?
Yeah.
Would you recommend Sound of Freedom?
No, you have so much better uses for your time. Go watch Left Behind for a laugh, for at least a mildly entertaining experience. Go drink a bottle of Cell Block. Do something.
Fucking Edge for an hour. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. There's part of me who wants to recommend this movie, and then there's part of me that just goes, no.
Ooh.
Don't.
It's not. Honestly, my review on Letterboxd.
I haven't even reviewed this movie yet.
I was like, I wish I watched Taken instead.
Honestly, after that, I was like, I should just watch Taken.
Go watch Taken 3.
Yeah, go watch the whole Taken series instead. I mean, my God.
Yeah. Taken is a much better it's a much better grasp on this sort of thing, and it's complete fiction.
Yeah. Honestly.
That's about as scathing a review as I can give.
Maybe
to Sound
we
of
need
Freedom.
To make a better Sound of Freedom.
Oh, no.
Maybe we could show the antagonist actually drinking the blood of George.
Oh, my God.
Let's go full QAnon.
Just full schlock.
Be like, you want a QAnon? We'll give you QAnon.
Yeah.
We'll have like someone that looks like Bill Clinton or like Hillary Clinton drinking the cracking open the baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. And then they like get younger.
Yeah. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, like the story around this movie is a lot more interesting than the movie itself.
Yes.
Go watch the Fundy Fridays video on it. It's like an hour and a half, but it's like way more compelling and informational than this.
And then we need like a humanized character that we're following. That's like the fish out of water to everything.
Yeah.
Where he's like, what's happening? And then they're like, dude, there's going to be this party with a whole bunch of bitches on this private island. You got to come. Okay.
It's a whole Eyes Wide Shut thing.
And then they go and he's like, whoa, someone like bring their kids?
Oh my
no,
God.
Man. These are the bitches.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck. So it's like doing like backstrokes off of the island.
Yeah.
What did you rate it on Letterboxd? Because I've been like... I've been hesitating to rate it lately because I've been fluctuating between like...
I think like 2.5. It's not a shitty movie. It's a competent movie, but it's not good.
I've been going between like 2 and 3 out of 5. Oh yeah.
I know. I'm being generous.
Yeah. I'd say.
2 out of 5, to be honest. I mean, where I ended up at was like 5 out of 10. And then I was like, okay, we'll round down. 2 out of 5.
Okay.
I think that's where I've been sticking at lately. So,
well, I wouldn't recommend it. No.
Look it up. Do your research to find the actual story.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out that Tim Ballard is a liar.
And that he's allegedly abused five women.
Five women. Tim Ballard. TimBallard.com.
Yeah, that we know of.
Definitely loves those kids.
He loves children.
Sometimes a little too much.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
Guys, this has been a doozy of a podcast. I'm glad that we finally did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The seal on Sound of Freedom. Oh, my God. How can we even top this?
Left Behind.
Left Behind? But make sure that we can watch the correct one of that.
The OG.
The OG.
We'll watch a VHS rip.
VHS rip? Ooh.
Yeah, for the true experience.
You don't have the VHS? I know you do. You have that double sleeve.
I had it VHS. One time. Yeah.
I have a working VHS player, so, you know,
aren't
if you
there
find
multiple
it.
Left Behinds?
Yeah, there was a sequel, Left Behind Tribulation Force.
Still Left Behind.
There was like a Left Behind. I saw there was a Left Behind 3. Yeah. I thought I saw almost there was a
there's
4,
a
but I can't
there's
remember.
Oh my God. There's a whole cottage industry of like cheap direct-to-video
like Home Alone?
Christian movies about like the apocalypse. There's
Second Coming.
Yeah, there was.
Let's watch The Omen instead.
Oh my God.
There's just as many films, and I'm sure they're better.
There's Left Behind. There was Tribulation.
Left Behind came out with a movie in 2023.
What?
Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Shut up.
That might be a reboot.
Is that a reboot? Okay.
It might be. Yeah, there's.
Holy shit.
I think there's like two or three like legitimate like Kirk Cameron Left Behind movies, and then.
So the Reg Tridge.
Yeah, the Rich Tridge, and then there was the Nicolas Cage reboot, and then a sequel to that, and that might either be the third one of that, or yet another reboot.
Jeez.
I gave up trying to follow it, because it's such a mess.
We might have to do a deep dive.
This is, the Left Behind Rise of the Antichrist, has a 97% audience score out of 500-plus verified ratings.
Wow. What's the critic score?
It's uncalculatable.
There's like no reviews of
There's
it?
No reviews.
Oh my God.
It's on Amazon too, supposedly, here as well.
Holy shit balls.
All right, let's set our sights on that.
oh boy.
God. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back for another look at the hideous underbelly of humanity.
Yep.
Every time that I'm on,
I know.
We're looking at the worst people.
Well, I'm having Todd on soon.
Oh.
Talking about UFOs because I radicalized him.
Yeah.
UFOs? That sounds interesting.
Years ago, he was like, I don't believe in aliens.
Oh,
now
God.
He's like, aliens are real and like they're here.
Element 115.
That's right. Bob Lazar. The sport model.
Yeah.
Area S4. Yeah. So.
Have you seen the Tesla vehicles?
Majestic 12.
We reverse engineered the UFOs. That's how we got fiber optics, man.
Yeah.
I turned him into a full Eddie Bravo. It's
oh
great.
My God.
Oh, my God.
So, Aaron, where can people find more of you?
You
have a podcast or something?
Yeah, I got a Star Wars podcast, WSTR, Galactic Public Access.
Yes.
You can find us at WSTR Media everywhere. Don't find me anywhere else.
That's right. And Doug, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Where can people see more of you?
I'm on twitch.tv/wow_ it's a Pop-Tart.
That's
so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I usually plug in Syndicate a lot there.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah, I joined in one of his streams. He was streaming
I saw that,
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
No.
And I put a whole bunch of pirate emojis.
Got him.
I was actually going to stream Sound of Freedom last night for them. But a lot of people in my community were like, yeah, we're not sure if we want to watch this. And I'm like, I don't blame you. So I'm going to watch it by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie probably violates Twitch's TOS anyway.
Oh, I would have streamed it over Discord anyways.
The depictions of children.
Yeah.
Next time, do The Room by Tommy Wiseau.
There we go. I've never seen that yet, to be honest.
We might have to. We should do a live stream of us watching The Room.
You got your whole next season of Syndicate.
Oh my God, that would be amazing, guys! Thank you so much. We need to end this. We went into overdrive.
Hey, it's okay.
We gotta end it.
Yeah,
let's
guys,
end it.
Until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Bye, everybody.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.